Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I got two maybes that will determine at least 49% of the 2021 SEC race. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. How are you? Where are you? Are you in Pascagoula? Hey, Pascagoula. Are you in Columbia, South Carolina? Or are you in Jacksonville? Sup, Jacksonville? 1010 in the house. Wherever you are, I appreciate you coming here. It's 2 hours of college football conversation. We do it every single day. It's now 9 states and 50 sticks. So every single day, that's what we're dealing it out. I said I got two maybes. And one of them is going to be closer to true, but I got two maybes that will determine at least 49% of the 2021 SEC race, because I am getting more and more convinced. Like, you know, I'm a slow learn, but it's still Bama, and everybody's chasing them. And, well, they lost so much talent. They lost their starting quarterback. They lost two stud receivers. Look at everybody they lost to the NFL draft. They lost a running back. I'm sorry. Are you talking about last year when they lost Tua and Ruggs? And are you talking about this year when they're losing Jones and Devonta and Waddle? Because I mean, my goodness. I lose track. So, I'm going to say Bama's in charge 51% all by themselves. The 49% is Georgia and how it fares versus mostly Florida and Jacksonville, because Tennessee has not held up their end in about four different rivalries. It's no longer, and you know, I mentioned this about a month ago. There was some reason it came up one day. A Georgia fan would tell you back in the day, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it's been a while, hey, everybody pays attention to Jacksonville, and they should, and it's huge, and, you know, all the great names and coaches and players and outcomes and everything, and they should. It's the Tennessee game that really determines our season. And you go back and look, when Rick first got there, his first 7, 8, 9 years, his season got determined by the Tennessee game. But we're going to look at so much that comes out of Jacksonville, and that's absolutely a huge decider. But Missouri is good enough to speed bump you. Kentucky's good enough to maybe be more than that. Depends on what – if they get a dynamic game going at quarterback. And so, yeah, whatever. So it's the SEC schedule. You know it. You don't need me to talk. You don't need anybody to talk you through it. And so my two maybes, they're based around the same question. What do we know about JT Daniels? Because my maybes are, what do we know? And I'm going to say this, got to say this with some attitude, okay? What do we know? Maybe all we need to. And we're right about this kid. Stud. Stud, 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 stud. What is the fancy way to say the guy can whip it? What are they, arm talent?
He can spin it.
He can spin it. He spins it. Arm talent. I'm like, what are you? Arm talent. What is that? He can throw. All right. Like, no, but Brett Favre's coming out of Southern Mississippi. Not kidding. Do you know how it was put to me? I read it. I'm sorry. It was a draft preview. Quote, can throw a strawberry through a locomotive. Okay. Point made. Do you know what I never heard about Brett Favre? His arm talent, where he ranks in the league in arm talent. I didn't tell you about JT Daniels' arm talent. Stud. That's the first maybe. maybe all we need to know is what we know. That kid's a stud. Did you see him? Maybe it was four games against 3-7, 2-8, 5-5, and a very good Cincinnati opponent in the bowl. Maybe it was four games in that scenario where I will say, if you look at the bowl game, there was some impressive and there was some less than impressive. Don't just look at the numbers. I think JT Daniels had a pretty dang good day overall, especially considering it was with some players that he hadn't thrown a lot to, at least not in game situations. And way better in his numbers, because I don't know, Dan, you watched it. That was Georgia's worst offensive line day of the year. It had to have been.
Yeah.
I mean, even against Alabama, they had enough success in the first half. I thought awful play by the Georgia offensive line, and they still beat an undefeated opponent. And Daniels made some plays that day. But four games, 3-7, 2-8, 5-5, and an undefeated Cincinnati team in the bowl game in Atlanta. See, I don't know which maybe I'm going to fall on the side of. Well, what did you think about him before last season? Well, before last season, this was a weird thing because I never even got the details of it until he transfers to Georgia, because I didn't think about it after Keaton Slovis took over. You know that the 19 season, JT Daniels was not only a true freshman in 2018, but there was some like Jake Bentley to him. Like he was he reclassified to go in early or something. There was an element of, no, that kid really should be in high school. I'm almost certain with JT Daniels. So he goes to USC, starts as a true freshman in 2018, and he threw too many interceptions. And he was a high school player. Not even, he's a true freshman. No, he was like a pre-freshman. Whatever that's. In fact, you know what it is? I can tell you. There was a county just two over from mine growing up, and they didn't have, we called them middle school. Some places call them junior high. They had elementary school go to 7th grade, and then their high schools were 8th through 12th grade. You know what they called the 8th graders? Sub-freshmen. And then they even, like, less integrity and dignity than that, subbies. Hey, subby, back of the bus. Hey, subby, back of the line. Hey, subby, lunchroom at the, you know, subbies. So he was like a sub-freshman. Except he was starting quarterback in a Power 5 conference. And he turned the ball over way too much. And Clay Helton's like, it's all right. He's a true freshman. I got him for the next 2 years at least, maybe more. Remember, this kid was a 5-star recruit. He's from California. So he goes to USC. And you could see the talent, though. And that wasn't a great USC team. And he was a freshman who, and again, I wish I would have looked at this before the show, but I do – you know, pretty close to getting it. There was a situation where he really shouldn't have even been there. Threw way too many interceptions. But it was a growing experience. I've said even bad experience for a quarterback still experience. He comes back in 2019, and I said I didn't go back and look at it because Keaton Slovis took over. He started the opener, and it was against Fresno, and I was watching the game. And he got hit the last play before halftime. And so it goes to halftime, and Southern Cal and Fresno, folks, that was like a 11:15 kickoff for me. And so they got to halftime, and I was like, and so the next day I got up. I didn't even know he was injured. I just looked at the final score. I'd seen the kid play. It was the next Saturday. I was like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. That's right. I saw a note about this. And so Keaton Slovis took over, and they're like, well, we got our quarterback now, our true freshman quarterback. JT Daniels looking around going, no matter what sort of, you know, hocus pocus we do with eligibility in 2020, I'm not behind him in classification. And so if I'm going to play, I got to get on out of here. And so trying to recover from the injury while win a job that was suddenly open when it was never. Do you know the cool thing about JT Daniels and those final four games? He didn't plan to play them. He transferred, I bet it was 5 months after Jamie Newman transferred. He knew who the starter was going to be, and he's like, my knee don't work. My knee doesn't work. I need to go somewhere where there'll be a quality starter, no pressure, I can rehab, top quality medical and rehab staff and all that. He chose Georgia. One of the reasons, in part, like 19% of that pie chart, he chose Georgia because he wasn't going to have to play. Not right away. He's a gamer and a competitor, and he's like, absolutely, I'm going to win that job. And that's always going to be the mentality. But room of truth, all right, that Wonder Woman rope, he's telling you. He's like, nah, I ain't going to play Jamie Newman. He's going to play. I'm going to transfer in. I'm supposed to be now just, what, 19 years old, just now a true sophomore with a knee that doesn't work, and I'm going to beat out that guy who's already been here 4 months before me. No, it's not going to happen. He knew it. So maybe we know all that we need to. And everybody's right up a stud. Maybe it was only four games. And three of them against teams that really didn't have a whole lot going on. Two of them with first-year coaches and one of them with an interim. So maybe we'll determine about 49% of the SEC this coming season.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
What really attracted us to him was just the kind of person he is, and then his story. So many coaches that I talked to when we were doing our research on Monterio, more than one coach or administrator used the word star to describe him.
If you are what you say you are.
That'd be Shane Beamer. He's the South Carolina head coach, and he's talking about Monterio Hardesty, who is now the South Carolina running backs coach. Chuck Oliver Show continues on a Wednesday. This is a press conference Beamer was speaking at yesterday, of course, digitally to the media, in announcing a new coaching hire. And there have been guys around the SEC that have had to announce more coaching hires than they actually have coaches because – you know, you hire Tracy Rocker and 2 weeks later he's gone. You hire, oh, am I talking about South Carolina or Auburn? You hire, you know, rehire Mike Bobo and I don't know, like 4 days later he's gone. So a lot of reshuffling after some initial hires. You're thinking, all right, here's the staff. And you send out a press release and hey, you hit recall, which is about the single biggest waste of any effort is sending out the email. Please recall last email. And so you send out the corrected release because like three coaches left. Monterio Hardesty, I think about him and it's, it was LaMarcus Coker and Arian Foster. I mean, my gosh, that talent attended. Talent never went away with Fulmer. It never left. And the one season, remember when Lane was there, that was one of the big, now it turned into disaster, but that was the big story is that, remember, Lane only put together one recruiting class at Tennessee. And it was, who was the kid? Was it Brian Brown, the running back? Bryce Brown out of Kansas. And who was the little sort of rail-thin punt returner? Anukis Richardson from Polk County down in Florida. I mean, it was big name after big name. Jansen Jackson was a five-star safety out of Louisiana. Just a monster, just dominating the SEC as a freshman at safety. He's in prison right now, by the way. Strangled a guy, left him in a car trunk.
I am not exaggerating all of it. I mean, any of that. Every word of it's true. I remember asking our good friend Dave Hooker one time about Jansen Jackson after his freshman season. And I said something about I just was having conversation. I was like, man, they got a good player in the secondary in Jansen Jackson. He said, you said good player. He said, leave it at good player. And I was like, well, somebody in the media says that about a 19-year-old kid? He's kind of telling you something, because there aren't a lot of 19-year-olds that me as an adult I know personally. It takes a heck of a lot for me to look at a 19-year-old and go, that's a bad kid. A lot of times I will say he's a 19-year-old kid. I've told you two things about me as a 19-year-old: mullet, I rock Z28. So we don't make good choices sometimes. Again, Jansen's were a little more serious than that. But Montario Hardesty, just he was a tremendous running back, and had his run in the NFL for a few seasons, but he's been in college now. He was a GA back with the Vols. He was at Charlotte, coaching wide receivers, which, you know, there are some positions, again, where it's a little more intensive. And for a young coach, it doesn't mean you're not a good coach. It may just mean you're a young coach. But you're already kind of building your chops there, getting them on the recruiting trail. And so this is a nice ad for Shane Beamer. And again, is very excited to have Hardesty there. Dan Matthews, what up?
JNCOs and wanted to bleach blonde my hair. So I'm kind of on the same wavelength
with you. Tips or the whole thing?
The whole thing. I wanted to like look like Eminem. Yeah, it was not a good look. I mean, you know, even in the high school as well, I mean, Abercrombie and Fitch
and
puka shell necklaces, all that kind of stuff. We all learn from our past. That's it. Hey, we all learn from our past. That's for sure.
What's the saying? If you don't do something stupid when you're young, you won't have anything to laugh about when you're old?
Well, I mean, the chances are you do it more stupid when you're older, and then it's not very very sightly then. So you want to make sure you get those mistakes out of the way early on in the career. Matt Campbell is somebody that is always the hot name that's brought up every single year. I mean, let's be honest here, Chuck. Whenever coaching vacancies happen at large schools, it's always the same handful of people that we look at and say, oh, yeah, hey, he'd be a great fit, or this guy would be a great fit. But
I tell you,
Matt
Dan,
Campbell,
you and I need to start a search firm.
I mean,
we will give you the same names.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, why not? I mean, sometimes the lack of originality is what brings it in. But, you know, for a guy like him, his coaching career is interesting, where he played at Pitt for one season. I don't think people remember this. Then he went to Mount Union, yep, then Bowling Green. So the point is, he's a Midwest guy. And more often than not, when you want to take a job, two things have to marry themselves to each other. Number one, can I succeed? That's the one that everybody wants to answer. But number two, are the resources there for me? And part of it is created by you. Because Matt Campbell is a guy that knows probably the high schools in Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, maybe even some in Florida, all these different types of places, even Illinois, because for the most part, he's not getting them to Iowa. The second part of this as well is, Chuck, for the most part, he's really not ready when you look at his numbers, because this last season, the win over Oregon in the Fiesta Bowl, I get that that's everybody looking at that.
He's Lincoln Riley and really an exception. Unless he's like one of two or three guys, you're right, he ain't ready.
Well, because that's been his best season. He's been 3-9, 8-5, 8-5, 7-6 during that time at Iowa State. Now, granted, Iowa State success is relative. You go 10-3 like they just did this last, 9-3 like they just did this season, there's backflips being done right there, because it's an, oh my gosh, we're winning here. For the most part, it's only basketball that wins at this school. We don't do that. But for him, I think that he looks at that and says, there's still unfinished business here. There's still a chance for us to get better. He's got a full roster coming back this season. They're going to be strong. And also too, Chuck, for the most part, it ain't hard to win in the Big 12 right now. It's pretty much, and this is a tall order, beat that team in Norman, and you're the one running the conference right now. And the fact that he would want to leave that and go to the SEC and have to go up against Nick Saban, no thanks. Maybe even go to the Big 10 and go up against Ryan Day, again, same answer.
Yeah, I saw that it was the first time in program history Iowa State had finished first in its conference in football in a regular season standing. Back with Chris Landry.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It's Wednesday, and that means it's Chris Landry Day on the Chuck Oliver Show. That's right. I tell you, every day, nine states, 50 sticks, dealing it out over the radio. We got the podcast, thepodcastpark.com. And get the SST app from the App Store if you want to listen to it that way. Or if you really got a taste for it, you can watch it. Twitch TV, if you go to LandryFootball.com, all the way down on the far side, it says Twitch TV. When you click it, you get to see me talk college football and interact on screen, and we can have conversations, you can ask questions, et cetera. But that's only one thing happening at LandryFootball.com. I tell you every week, it's my number one site. Roll out of the rack, boom, LandryFootball.com, because I find out everything happening in the world of football, high school recruiting to Super Bowl Sunday, everything in between. I want to welcome him on now. The namesake, it is Chris Landry. Chris, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good, Chuck. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Enumerate some more. I said, bless so much more. Tell everybody what so much more at the website means.
Yeah, obviously, as we put the football season to bed, the playing part of the season, I like to call it scouting season, although scouting season is 12 months a year. But for most that begin to follow this time of year, college football recruiting's to bed for 2021, but very, very active in 2022. The transfer portal, very, very active. Still got a few coaching movements. We've got that all covered for you in our notebooks. And in the NFL, of course, free agency, new league year is right around the corner. The whole NFL draft process. Look, it's 7 days a week, just like the football season, all the way through the draft. And then things kind of settle to where we can see, all right, here's what the rosters look like. And throughout the process, we evaluate the rosters and the staffs and throw in a little spring practice, which we think we're going to have. And, you know, you get the picture. It's football all year round. So check it out at Landry Football. We've got our scouting season special going on right now. So you want to take advantage of that.
All right, Chris, I'm going to try to do this off the top of my head. And for most head coaches, it's easy, but I'm going to try to do this for Nick Saban. Coaches he has lost this year, running backs coach, offensive line coach, offensive coordinator, secondary coach, special teams coach. I think that's all of them. Most recently, Carl Scott heading to the Vikings. Talk about if you want to, who's going to coach secondary next year for him. But overall, what do you think so far of the transition away from the coaches who have left and who he's replaced them with?
Well, you know, I think that you can make a strong case that continuity in coaching is really important. And it is, particularly when you've got a head coach that's more of a CEO guy. And I think having continuity is important, particularly the coordinators. I think with Saban, that has been long out of the window, and that you're going to have guys that come to the program with the idea that this is going to jumpstart me, trampoline me into a bigger and better things with more responsibility somewhere else, including in the NFL and college. I mean, the world's kind of open to you at
that point. Charles Huff's a head coach in Division One.
That's correct. So, you know, the thing that he's been able to do so well, one of many, is this is the offensive and defensive system. Here's how we call things. We hire you. You come in, and you're going to run our system. We want your ideas. We want your touches, your little seasoning to it. But so he's able to keep the continuity by having the overall pulse on everything that is X and O in that program. So in some ways, it's worked out to where it's somehow provided a little juice to that program to have different people come in. Because here's the thing, the motivation part of it, just like with the players come, they win titles, They stay a couple, 3 years, they probably win two titles. But they leave. You know, you got the young players that come in. They're motivated. Wait. I want to win a title. I want a ring. Well, coaches are kind of the same way. So you get guys like Doug Marrone and Bill O'Brien, and you got guys that, you know, haven't won, doesn't have a ring, and they want a national championship ring. So it brings fresh ideas. There was a belief in that there was going to be some changes on that defensive staff, and got tipped that it was likely Carl was going to leave. So I know he's got a plan. I know he's got kind of multiple plans based upon how he wants to put it together. But all the moves, most of the moves have been made on the offensive side, but the tweaking on the defensive side, I think we're going to see a little bit of tweaking, not major overhaul. But that's the other thing, is it's kind of late for moves, but not for Alabama, because they can go – they are high on the food chain, as you well know. So they can go get pretty much anybody they want. And the people that are going to suffer is whoever he goes and gets. Then they're going to have to be, you know, trying to compete to find somebody to replace that position. So all is good in terms of the staff and the quality. Man, this is about as good of a group as the recruiting class was. Now, again, getting it all to coalesce and come together. Yeah. Now, Bill O'Brien and Doug Marrone are two peas in the pod. Those were package deals, really. But, you know, even some of the other moves, I think, have been really positive. And, you know, they went and hired a great recruiter at running back and tight end coach, because that's what you have to have at those positions. Carl was a great recruiter. So now, does he go and hire somebody? And Carl wanted to leave because he wanted to get a little bit more experience and a little bit better on the field. And so you do that in the NFL because you're not recruiting there. So kind of like what Tosh LePoy did when they pushed him out. Tosh, you know. So they're in good shape, and I think they'll make some announcement next week or so of what they're going to do tweaking on the defensive staff.
All right, and Baton Rouge, same sort of thing, almost a new staff on defense. It might be Corey Raymond and then everybody else introducing themselves.
That's it.
But just give the overview, because I bet there's been – I'm trying to think now, is it six or seven new coaches?
Yeah, it's a little different situation where you've got a head coach that's a recruiter that is not a great X's and O guy. So, you know, this is, you know, new guys, inexperienced guys, but guys that he knows and can trust, because he's had some bad decisions. You know, well, when it's one and done, you made a mistake on hiring coaches. And he's done that, you know, three times now on different sides of the ball. So what it's going to be, it's a transition. And it's, in essence, more important that the coaches hit, because the head coach can't come in there and help fix it, like, you know, in the case in Tuscaloosa. So this is going to be interesting to see. I mean, these are some new ideas, some young guys that are very excited. There's talent. It's going to be a better year than it was last year, because it has to be, because it was a disaster. But in terms of, you know, are they going to hit it big? I think that everybody's hoping that it hits it like the year that, you know, Brady came in with Joe Burrow. I think people are going to realize that was kind of hitting the lottery. And more often than not, you're going to see a good LSU, but probably not a great one. And I think the staff is kind of reflective of some hires that were, you know, guys that were decent fits, but obviously they weren't their first, second, or third choices in most cases. So that kind of gives you an idea [S2] Yep. [S1] Of where you are when you make these changes, when you have to go further down the road, because there's an appearance from the coaching profession that there's not a lot of stability at LSU.
So we have talked, as Brian Harsin was kind of piecing together two or three at a time, it seemed, his coaching staff. You gave sort of a running commentary over the course of a few weeks. Well, it's done now, everything, off field, the strength and conditioning, all of it. I will say one thing that makes me cock an eyebrow is, and I appreciate the attitude, it is certainly, you know, glass half full, But until you actually sign a four-star linebacker from La Jolla, talking about hiring West Coast assistant coaches to expand the recruiting footprint, that's just a positive attitude you have. Tell me about what you think about on-field recruiting, et cetera, Brian Harsin.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned that there is not enough of an SEC footprint, which I think is, you know, a real big important part. It's fine if you can go out and beat USC on a player that's great out west. But are you beating Clemson and Alabama if they want them? That's what I don't know. And I look, it's they've had a pattern with Brian at Boise of being a great developmental program, but they recruited at the highest level in their league. I mean, it wasn't great comparatively speaking, but in that league, it was very good and at the top or near the top every year. So how well they're going to be able to recruit, meaning, you know, for Auburn to be where Auburn wants to be, there are two things that need to happen. One would help is Nick Saban get out of town.
Yep.
Because that would help everybody. But, you know, you're going to have to recruit top five. I mean, if Florida is going to be elite, they're going to have to recruit top five, you know, and Auburn's going to have to do the same. I don't know that they've put together the staff that's going to get them that. So there's only so much out coaching you can do. And, you know, I don't know how that's going to work. I think he's a good coach. I think it'll bring some stability. It's some fresh ideas, fresh faces. It's not kind of what it's been at Auburn, status quo, but I don't know that it's going to be bringing about a complete change of look out. Auburn's now going to be lock them in 2-3 years and lock it in. They're going to be the second best program in the SEC West. I don't see that right now. I see a little bit more positivity in what I see like A&M doing, quite frankly, than what I see Auburn doing in 2 or 3 years. But yeah, Let's give them time. Let's see.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to see it play out a little bit. But I will say, and I don't think I'm being cynical or overly critical. I'm still in my media, you know, role, not my fan role. How about you take back Phoenix City before you
talk about taking
Los Angeles?
Yeah, no, that's the thing about it. Because, look, it's great. But who are you going getting out of L.A.?
Take back Mobile? Auburn owned Mobile for about 30 years.
Yeah, go in. I mean, obviously, and, you know, remember, they dominated Fort Lauderdale. I mean, they lived. That Dillard, I mean, that was just, you know, they should have just changed their colors and wore Auburn helmets there at Dillard. I mean, you know, I think that is that's where you need to be. Because, like, who are they going to go get out west? I mean, okay, you can get good players, but you don't go out and get good players out west. You go, if you're Alabama, you're Clemson, you're Auburn, you're not going to California to get a good player. You're going to get one of the top five players in the LSU, whatever, top five players in the country. You just go and get them. And then in the end, they will be interested. But it's usually difficult to get them to finally get over the hump and say, yeah, I'm going to the Plains or I'm going to Tuscaloosa. And, you know, and right now, Auburn's not that place where they're quite as excited to jump as they are to say Clemson or Ohio State or Alabama. So I don't know. I mean, you don't go and get good players. You're right. You got to go ahead and get it done in state, in the South, in parts of Georgia where they're always strong, in the Fort Lauderdale area. And, you know, look, that's part of what you hire. When you hired a guy that is a good coach but not from that area, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get, I think, a pretty well-coached team, but I don't know. I think you lose a little bit of that local recruiting element. But relationships are important, and it takes time to develop relationships. But how much time do you have in college football these days? You don't have 5 years to develop your recruiting relationships from one end of the country to that. Because I believe if you're a good recruiter in California, you can be a good recruiter in Florida because it's about relationships. But it takes you years to develop the same relationships to where the same trust level is there. Well, good luck getting anybody that said, you got 5 years to build those relationships, and then we put you on the clock.
Oh, no.
And that don't happen today. That's difficult.
And if I'm going to California, like, for a running back, it's going to be Najee. It's not – if a three-star running back from California, I can go to Columbus, Georgia, and get 10 three-star running backs.
And that's where you got to give your – get your three-star guys locally that you think are really more four stars on your grading chart. You got to get those guys because you got – got to make the inroads because the kids in Georgia, Florida, and Alabama want to go there. You got to convince the kids in California that come to Auburn. You don't have to convince those other kids. So I think you got to start there. And if you don't, you're going to have trouble getting the big kid that you want, the five-star kid in Georgia, Florida, Alabama. Then you're going to have a hard time getting into the living room and really get into the final two or three for those.
Folks, it is firsthand dynamic information updated every single day from Chris Landry, direct from him, his staff, et cetera, at LandryFootball.com. We're going to break, come back, wrap up with Chris on a Wednesday next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Continuing with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com and sobering. That is an adjective that I use only occasionally because it's powerful, folks. You think about like something in sports that is sobering. It was remember the ACC started, two or three weeks before most everybody? And so it was like the middle of October or so, maybe end of October. And I was texting with a buddy of mine down in Tallahassee. And I was asking him, talking about the win-loss record. You know, how's it going to end up? What about the remaining games? What do y'all think? Can you rally to whatever? And I got back, and I want to bring in Chris now. This was the response I got, Chris, because I texted a buddy down there, and I was referring to win-loss records. I got back, dot, 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 win-loss records, comma. That's not really what we're discussing right now. That means that when Norville and the staff got kind of deeper into that season, they realized this thing's underwater right now. There is a much bigger picture than winning and losing games. You can't say that when you're in Power 5 football, especially at FSU, but I believed them, that there was a bigger picture than what's going to happen Saturday against Syracuse or whoever.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And look, people on the outside look at every situation and they think it's one size fits all. So a guy's there 2 years and, you know, you think, well, so-and-so was there 2 years and left and he got it turned around quick. You don't know what goes on inside the building. It's kind of like you might look at the house from the curb. It might not look all that bad. You go inside and it's a disaster. You don't know what needs to be fixed or, you know, vice versa. It may look dilapidated, but then, you know, you cut some weeds down, you put a fresh coat of paint, and you know what? It's not all that bad. They did a lot of work on the inside, and boom. This is – every situation's different. This one was the one that when you opened the door and you tore up the rugs and the carpet, you found – I mean, it was
– like a smoker lived there.
You know, yes, it was – what do you call the – yeah, I mean, not the mold where you go that – I mean, they got the – What was it?
The Louisiana Pacific.
Sean Payton had this on his house one time. The Chinese drywall. Anybody heard of that?
He
just like destroyed it. So there was Chinese drywall. There was mold. There was probably some asbestos. They had to get it. You know, this is a mess. So, look, it's not to defend Mike. He's going to have to fix this. He took this job. It probably is a lot worse behind the scenes. I noticed it last offseason when you start having players calling him out, and I said, uh-oh, this is something. And you don't have the ability to get face-to-face to him last spring. Remember, they got about three or four practices. I said, this is, you know. I wasn't into predicting records either. But, look, I think you have to gradually – there's a rule of thumb that usually runs when – you've got a new coach coming in. The first year is more reflective of what the guy inherited than what he's doing. And the second year, a little less. Third year, a little more. The further along in, the more it's his program and what it's reflected of him. So I think those things are, I think, really important to look at and say that let's see what he can do in terms of getting this team to play smart, play together. Still don't know how they beat North Carolina. I still don't. But, you know, I think we need to see a little bit more out of it. Now, the recruiting, same thing. Can the 2022 class hold up? Yeah, I get it. It's top six in the country right now. That doesn't mean anything. So it was Tennessee, and Tennessee had a good class. But let's see if they can end up with a top 10 class in 2022 after they have a more stable discipline showing this year. Then you're on to something, you know, but there's going to need time. The difference is, are you making progress? And you're, if the only thing you can look at is the one loss record, you often are confused as to what the progress is. And I do think behind the scenes they're making progress, but it's slower than I thought, that's for sure.
Chris, we got about a minute left. You know, like DJ Williams, the transfer running back, there's a reason running backs can go for 120 in a Pro Bowl, because it's the same, all right, run to daylight. But for everybody else, every other position, it's about chemistry and practicing with your teammates. Give an idea about maybe some of these individual recruits or just as a whole, because there's a lot of grown man talent. Like I said, we got about a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in this day and age, even with transfer portal stuff, getting guys in, getting recruits in early, okay, that's great if you can use it to your advantage where you have the off-season work, getting developed that chemistry of which you speak. Well, you know, we're – I think going to be able to do that this offseason and are on our way to doing it better than last year and handling it with testing and vaccines and whatnot. That's the key. I think last year a lot was lost. Now, everybody had to deal with it, but the ones that had transitions that needed even more to develop some chemistry and was not able to do it, I think they were affected more. I think there's talent. Talent is certainly very important, but how you get it to work together, how you get it to come together. We saw it in the NFL. The Bucs in the middle of this season was 7-5, and they didn't lose a game after that, and they looked like they were getting ready to get knocked out of the playoffs. Even at that level, you have to do it. At the college level, even more so.
Chris, always appreciate it, brother. 7 days, do it again, man.
Thank you so much. Take care.
All right, Chris Landry again from LandryFootball.com. Get the same subscription I have. I got the yearly subscription. It kind of comes around every middle or end of April, so I'll be logging in and signing up again in just a couple of months. Again, Landry Football. Chris joins us every Wednesday.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon background screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.